Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
One of the first classes I took in seminary was called Ancient Philosophy, and one of the philosophers that we studied was Plato. And Plato believed that the world we interact with is like a shadow of reality. That when you look at something like a tree, for example, you don't see a tree, you're just getting a glimpse of reality. He called this the realm of the forms that's truly real, rather than the world that we interact with. And to illustrate this philosophy of his, he used this allegory of the cave. So maybe just journey with me a moment into this illustration. Just imagine this enormous cave. And in the deepest, darkest part of this cave, there's people and that are chained up head to toe. Since they can't move, all they can see is the cave wall that's in front of them. But on the wall, there's shadows moving around from the light that's cast by the fire burning behind them. And in these shadows, they see outlines of different things, animals, people in shapes. And since this is all they've known, they think what they're seeing is the real thing. When really it's their captors that are just moving puppets in front of the fire behind them to make shadows. This picture is really a picture of a truly tragic existence. These people are so mesmerized by the show in front of them that they're unaware that they're living in a false world. And then Plato asks, what would happen if someone was freed from the cave and brought to the world above? That experience would actually be very uncomfortable. His limbs would be sore from being chained up for so long, and the light from the fire would hurt his eyes. And once his eyes take in the light from the outside, he wouldn't be able to see anything at first. The light of the sun would blind him. But then very slowly, as his eyes adjust, a new world would appear before him. He would see shapes and colors more vibrant than anything he'd ever imagined. He would finally know the real world, not just a world of shadows. While Plato used this allegory of the cave to demonstrate the journey from ignorance to what he called the true philosophy, I bring it up today on this Feast of Epiphany because of the theme that we hear about in our readings and our prayers for this solemnity. We heard about the shining star that the Magi followed to find the Christ child. In the second reading, St. Paul referenced the light that shone and knocked him to the ground on his road to Damascus, that moment of his revelation. And our first reading from the prophet Isaiah began with the words, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you." continues, "See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory." Before Christ entered our lives, we lived in darkness. We were bound in chains, head to toe, by our captor, the devil, who deceived us by giving us counterfeits of what's really real, true, and beautiful. Because of original sin, we misunderstood ourselves, others in the world. We didn't even know it, but God has come to rescue us. Jesus has brought us into the light. Right? A life that was just two-dimensional and meaningless has now become vibrant and full of meaning. By coming into the world, Jesus has sanctified creation, and as God, he's also showed that there's something beyond this world. There's the natural, which is real, but there's also the supernatural. When we live for heaven, our lives can take on an eternal significance. Jesus, who is the light of the world, has rescued us from darkness and brought us into his own wonderful light. That's something that the Magi recognize today in the gospel. And what is their response? They offer him the very best that they have: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bring to this baby gifts fit for a king, because they see that this is no ordinary baby boy. This is the Son of God. In fact, the only other time when these three gifts are mentioned in the scriptures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, is in the Song of Songs, in reference to King Solomon, who in that love poem is described as the bridegroom who pursues his bride. So as the wise men lay down their gifts before the newborn king, do him homage, we see in Jesus our bridegroom king, who pursues us out of his love for us. And what about us? How do we give the Lord our very best? Well, first, like the Magi, we need to recognize Jesus as our Savior, to allow him to rescue us from sin, not to be content with living in a world of shadows, but to live in the light, which may for a time bring temporary discomfort, but ultimately will lead to our freedom. And then we do him homage, which we do every time that we come to Mass, or if we can't physically come to a church, to make that time on Sunday to worship him as we kneel before a king who is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. So may we worship the Lord Jesus today with all that we have in gratitude for shining his light upon our lives.